Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Blood Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Thursday, almost to the weekend. So, for me, I'm covering the medical center on call till Tuesday, and so far it's had its moments, but a lot of them are during the day, and I'd rather have those moments during the day when I'm at work at my desk than at home, or if it's early in the morning trying to get my kids ready to school. So I'd rather have them during work so they're out of the way and they're done with. Some other crazy things happen. Well, for one thing, my deep freezer went, and all the meat went with it. And it was, my deep freezer's on the garage, and well, there was an aroma in the garage, and we thought maybe it was, a dirty diaper, because, I have a 2.5-year-old who, he's not totally done potty training yet. He gets a poopy diaper once in a while. He's at that stage where he won't hesitate to pee in the toilet. He'll pull his diaper or his his pants down, underwear, and he's not afraid to do that. It just is sitting down, obviously. I guess worrying about being sucked in by the toilet monster, I guess, is his issue. But anyway. We thought it was his diaper, so when I came in from work the other night, the aroma was there, but it smelled like a bunch of dead bodies, and Lord, if you know it, I opened up the freezer, and this aroma just shot my nose. And it's an aroma that will never, from a lot of people tell me, is it will never leave you for the rest of your life. No matter where you live, no matter where you go, it follows you. And they're right. I was nauseated for about a good day and a half. It sucked, to say the least. But it's cleaned out. It's all set to go. And I'm here, and we got some Pitt football to talk about. Pitt's got Syracuse this week, and this game used to be penciled in as obviously W for Pitt all the time, but last year Pitt dropped the game against them when they should have won it, and obviously at the time Pitt had a quarterback issue because, Max Brown, we put our eggs in one basket with him. He sucked. No offense to him. Although Syracuse, he didn't look too bad. It seemed like maybe he was starting to look like a serviceable QB. But he got hurt middle of the game. And then we're stuck with Ben DiNucci, who obviously wasn't a fit for Sean Watson's offense. And I'm not sure if any quarterback really is. Maybe a Pop Warner, Pop Warner type quarterback. Maybe a kid who's like 12 years old is suited for his offense. I have no idea. We used to think Matt Cavill's offenses were bad. Then this guy shows up. And on top of that, Kenny Pickett's having a hard time making his reads. And then, it's a recipe for disaster. And the offensive line, obviously, has been great. It's been mediocre. And a mediocre line can only block for so long, and you have to get the ball out quicker. So obviously we're dealing with a real, maybe like, I don't know, two, maybe three-headed, four-headed monster here. And it's unfortunate, but, Pitt lost that game last year, and Syracuse obviously is 4-1. They're coming in this game, and they're coming off a heartbreak against Clemson. I say that because, well, Clemson struggled for most of the game, and their starting quarterback gets hurt, and Syracuse had a 10-point lead late in the game, and Clemson made its comeback, and that was that. Eventually they realized they had to pressure Eric. You know, they had to pressure Dungy, and eventually things worked out for them. Pitt will obviously have to do the same, get pressure on them, and hopefully that this this is one of those spread type offenses. These offenses that are designed to beat Pitt because Pitt went up to Central Florida and, got their asses kicked. Or, no, I'm sorry, down to Central Florida because they're going down south. Some side stories to that. Obviously, people asked about, guys taking falls or dives and fake injuries. And Narduzzi obviously, denied that, as any coach would, because that's just how that is. Although the tape tells us something different. I understand it's in Florida, it's hot. But guess what? Central Florida has to play there a lot more than we do. And it gets hot and humid in Pittsburgh as well, even in September. Sometimes October too. Maybe it's hotter in Florida. The thing is Central Florida, they got playing this shit all the time. They're not playing no dome, and that's the thing. We sit there and we bitch and moan about how, the southern teams gotta play real man's football, and they gotta play in the snow, and they gotta play in cold weather. Well, guess what? We gotta go down there and we gotta fucking play there too. It's a combo of the both. Unless it's the NFL, of course, where a lot of the teams in the south play in domes. Jacksonville doesn't, obviously. Texans do. Cowboys do. And in fact, the Astros play their baseball in a dome. I mean, they can open it. I mean, I've been in Minute Maid once, and it was because I got free tickets, club box seats. Minute Maid's actually a really nice ballpark. It's really nice. But for me, watching that game, it was weird watching it because, for one thing, center field had that, up until last year, had that big-ass hill in the middle of it for whatever reason. I don't know why they did that. Maybe for some obstacle course or some crap like that, but, they liked it. But for me, it just felt weird watching baseball indoors. I mean, it didn't hit me till later in that game. Later in the game, while I was watching, I was like, "Shoot, we're indoors, watching a baseball game." Whereas, I've always been used to watching a baseball game outside, like in Three Rivers or PNC Park. Those are really the two big ballparks I've been to, and plus there was Municipal Stadium in Cleveland I went to, and that stadium. I mean. The manager of the Indians in the mid-90s said he had to take a shower after walking around in that stadium. And I mean, I don't blame him. I was there once. It was nasty. And not to mention, you had, I think, where we sat, shoot, a bunch of guys spitting skull on the ground. So you really can't say anything on the ground because you get freaking tobacco juice all over your shit. But anyways, back to my original point. I mean, if we got to play on, they have to play up here. We got to play down there. That's just the reality of it. So I don't know. All I can say is do better. Figure it out. Because they can figure it out down there. Obviously, you guys can. But then Pitt lost a a commitment. Travis Kuntz, the tight end. A position we really, really, really need depth and talent at. And he was one of the top JUCO players. And one of the big tight end gets. He decommits to Pitt. And I guess the tone, I mean, I read his tweet and I wished him well. But the tone of his, what's it called? Tweet. I don't know. It just seemed like he was disappointed. Like, oh, nice guys. Or, you know, they're nice stuff, but I need to move on. And I get it. I'm sure he got frustrated. He's been frustrated watching Pitt because, you know, in that article when they were asking the commitments about Pitt's slow start, he was concerned about the use of the tight ends. And at the end of the day, he, you know, decided to make a change. And, you know, I have no issues with that. I mean, it's not like the bigger schools are knocking on his door right now. You know, it's not a case where he got excited and committed to Pitt, and of course the big schools started to come by, and then, oh, you know what? The big schools want me now. Yeah, I don't want you guys no more. Forget you. Or you know, maybe it could be. Who knows? Maybe you know, some people have seen what's happened with Pitt, and they'd say, hey, they suck right now. Why don't you just come play for us? We're a bigger school, and we'll give you, you know, some money and some free shoes and cars and whatever else you want. And, you know, people, you know, one person mentioned that, you know, Pitt didn't paint up for Miles Sanders because supposedly after the whole Penn State commitment, he was driving around a BMW is the rumor, the rumor I'm hearing. Or at least I read in a tweet. And, you know, personally, I got no issues with it. I mean, if they're going to give these kids money and cars, whatever, fine. I mean, they gave Miles Sanders transportation pretty much. I mean, it's not like they gave him drugs and hookers or alcohol. They gave him a car to drive around in. So, hey, you know, if they want to do it, do it. You know, for me, you know, my opinion is it's the boosters' money. If they want to spend it like that on recruits, then go spend it. Because obviously not much is going to come of it. You know, you may get on probation, miss like a bowl game or two, but that's really about it. As far as the kid's reputation is concerned, that's, you know, that's probably the only issue with that. And I, you know, and I can see that's, you know, one thing is the morality part of this is, you know, you worry about ruining the kid's reputation because it'll follow him that he took, you know, he accepted money in cars. And, well, you know, sometimes these kids, when they get, you know, stuff flashing from them, that's what happens. They get enamored with it and they said, hey, yeah, I'll take the perks. Shoot. Me personally, I would just want food. I mean, I could care less about the electronics or anything else. I'd just rather eat. But, I was going to mention some of the drugs and hookers, but nah, you know, I don't need no drugs and definitely no hookers either. I mean, you're a football player. I mean, of course, you're one of the more popular guys on campus. I'm sure finding a date won't be a problem. But going back to Travis, I have no issues with him decommitting. He was upfront about it. And, you know, he's a JUCO. He's got to find a school that's going to, you know, whatever decision he makes, it has to count because he's going to finish his career there. But personally, if I'm a tight end, I'm going to Wisconsin or whoever else. And I'm surprised that he hasn't inquired about Wisconsin because Wisconsin would love him. Paul Chris loves tight ends. I mean, they would do bubble screens to him, all kind of crap. So, you know, personally, with a tight end, I'm probably looking at Wisconsin, you know, or Iowa. Iowa loves it. You know, you want to go to those two types of schools because they love that shit. But anyway, as far as Pitt goes, against Syracuse this week, I don't know what the hell they got to do. Well, for one thing, Syracuse obviously coming off a letdown, and Pitt obviously is, you know, had a hard time playing in the, you know, the heat. So now we're back up in the Northeast. They should have a hard time playing Syracuse, obviously. Pitt usually plays them close. They're going to have to get pressure on Dungy. Syracuse really hasn't beat anybody, guys. They beat, I mean, their signature wins Florida State, and they suck. I mean, they had Samford, I think one of the Michigan, Central, Western, whoever. And, they, of course, they had UConn. That's, I mean, those are their wins, pretty much. Our wins are Georgia Tech and Albany. And, of course, we had a close game with North Carolina. So, personally, I think Pitt's going to win this week. They're going to pull this one off. They always play Syracuse close, win or lose. But if Syracuse comes in and knocks us out early, then, yeah, we should probably be really, really concerned then. Because if Syracuse is kicking your ass, then there's other issues. But Pitt's obviously is falling in love with a nickel defense now. You know, we're in the middle of modernizing everything. So I guess, you know, we're gonna play nickel this week on defense. I'm sure on offense we'll do something differently. Obviously, we can't use tight ends. Maybe we'll go to a spread HD offense like Penn State. You know, maybe we'll add a whole bunch more wrinkles and, you know, hey, you know, just do upgrades in the middle of a season. And then you can, and you know, if some things happen, you can tell your AD, hey, we did all this stuff middle of the season. Sure, it was a thing, but hey, things will be better next year. Anyways, I'll stop bitching about this. But yeah, I like Pitt by at least a touchdown or 3 points because I think it'll be a close game and I think they'll pull it out. They got to it. I mean, this game's a must win because after what happened last week. And that was a major embarrassment and gut check for them. They gotta do something here. Anyways, guys, the rest of the slate for this week, Saturday at least, we obviously have the Red River Shootout between Texas and Oklahoma. Texas jumps in the top 25 ranked. They're not really that good as people are claiming to be. They beat TCU, and TCU made a lot of bad mistakes in that game. And they just beat Kansas State. And Kansas State obviously is a shell of its former self. So I really don't see them. I don't see them getting so lucky against Oklahoma this time. Oklahoma's got to really beat themselves to lose this game. So I like Oklahoma in this one. West Virginia should have no problem disposing of Kansas. I mean, Kansas is playing a lot better, but they're still Kansas. Northwestern Michigan State, you know, Northwestern obviously took Michigan to the helm, and Northwestern usually gives these teams fits, so, but I think State will pull that one off. LSU and Florida, huge game here. LSU obviously in the top 10, Florida in the top 25. Part of me likes Florida in this game because LSU really hasn't been tested majorly. I mean, they had the big win against Auburn, but I think this will be a tougher game for them, I think. I don't know, part of me, I do like Florida. Florida State, Miami, the big game, big ACC matchup, big rivalry, and it's a garbage one at that. For Willie Taggart, this is obviously a must-win game, although he won last week against a bad Louisville team. But he's going to have to do something here. One thing he can't do is get destroyed by Miami. So he's going to have to it's going to be winner else. So he's, it's not looking good for him right now. Although he did beat a bad Louisville team to save some face. I mean, FSU could piece some wins there for a bowl season. But, obviously his coaching is in question. And then, a lot of times you got to be a really good... For some coaches, they're very hands-on. Some, they just got to be good COs and learn to delegate. And I think in this case, that's what's going to happen here. But other than that, there's... as far as the rest of the slate goes, there's not much to, you know, not much to get into. There's Nebraska and Wisconsin, which, you know, would have been a really good matchup a long time ago. You know, when Nebraska was still somewhat relevant in college football. Even, like, maybe, like, during the Bo Pelini era. Maybe then this would have been exciting. Even during when Frank Solich was there in Osborne. I mean, this would have been an awesome matchup between these two guys. But now, Nebraska's horrible. Wisconsin's good, but Nebraska sucks. And then, of course, to close out the night, we got Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. And I was surprised by Notre Dame. I didn't think they would cream Stanford. But at the same time, Stanford had to go all the way up to Oregon. And, you know, they got taken to the limit. They got pushed to the limit. So, to come from that game, then go to the next week, to play next week against Notre Dame probably was hard for them. And they got this game here against... Notre Dame now has this game against Virginia Tech, and Tech obviously had that loss to Old Dominion. People are still going to talk about. I like Notre Dame in this one. I mean, it all comes down to matchups, but I think Brian Kelly is going to dissect the hell out of Bud Foster's defense, because that's what guys like Brian Kelly do. But anyways, let's go around the ACC, because that's where, you know, where we play. Rest of the games, Friday we got Georgia Tech and Louisville. I think Georgia Tech wins this one against the 3-3. Louisville just isn't good. They were, with Lamar, even with Lamar Jackson, they were mediocre. So I think they win that one. Boston College, NC State. This is a nice game because, you know, BC has four wins. And NC State's off to a really good start. This will be a tough one. This game's NC State, and I like NC State to continue on with what they're doing. And I think they're pretty much going to be the legit, it used to be the Atlantic was just Clemson and everybody else. Now we're seeing some teams rise up on this side of the spectrum. And the Coastal, obviously, is just a big brawl where it's a bunch of mediocre teams beating the hell out of each other to see who's going to lose to Clemson in the championship game. Clemson, speaking of them, they got Wake Forest this week, and Wake obviously fired their defensive coordinator. They played Rice last week and beat the crap out of Rice, but that's Rice. Rice is horrible. I look for Clemson recovering, you know, from the near loss, and they win again. But, yeah, they're not, guys. That's as far as the rest of it goes. I didn't see Penn State on this thing, so obviously they have a bye week. So I'm sure James is probably yelling at some people or yelling at some fans. But as far as the rest of the thing goes, Le'Veon Bell is coming back for the Steelers. And well, he's coming back for his bye week, and he had, you know... The thing is, well, you know, being in Houston last year, Dwayne Brown was out for most of the season. He came back for week 8. He came back around this... Actually, he came back around Halloween, I remember. That's where, you know... I believe it was the week before Halloween he came back. I remember correctly. It was week 8. He had to come back by a certain week because, obviously, you know, that's just how it was. That's how, you know, the CBA is. And that's why Le'Veon Bell's come back. He's not coming back because he wants to play. It's because he has to come back. And I'm not sure what he'll do. But, you know, at the end of the day, this whole Le'Veon Bell thing, this whole thing with Earl Thomas, it's all a bunch of... It's the players versus the league. And it's basically millionaires versus millionaires. And, you know... And the people that are outraged over this whole, you know, NFL crap about the players, a lot of them don't buy NFL tickets anyway. And they probably never will. Because here's the thing. When these guys' salaries get bumped up to hell and high water, It's the fans who suffer because they're the ones that they're going to have to pay boatloads of money for these tickets because they keep going up. So I'm not going to spend, you know, people get mad about Lev Bell, and I understand he's got to do what he has to do, but, you know, so does the franchise itself. If there's no, if the market just isn't there for you, they're not going to give you the money for it. That's how it goes. I mean the issue with Dwayne Brown last year was the fact that he signed a 5-year deal, and he was in year two of it, and he was trying to get more money out of it after his second year, and the Cowboys said no. Not Cowboys, Texans said no. You're not doing it. You just signed a deal. Why the hell are you doing? Why are you holding on again? Sometimes franchises got to put their foot down. Otherwise, if I'm a player, negotiate your contracts differently. Well, for one thing, what you want to do if you want to fix this whole thing is tell the Players Association to get balls and fight with the league. Get more guaranteed money for you guys. That's what you want to do. And that's, you know, and until that happens, I mean, it's going to be more of the same. I mean, but here's the thing. If you're going to negotiate a contract with anything, you gotta do it by year basis. Sign 1-year deals. That's what is probably the best thing for you. And then and I'm sure the guaranteed money will accrue more because, you know, I mean, some places I worked where I dealt with vendors, we always do our contracts year by year basis because sometimes during a contract they'll try to change things. So you negotiate year by year, and if you can get a better rate year by year, you do it. I mean, that's the thing with, you know, if you have cable or, you know, cell phone bill, forget it. But cable, for instance, you know, call it, you know, a lot of times I call every so few months to see if I can get, you know, some dollars knocked off my thing. You know. But anyways, guys, that's just that. And I know people are freaking out now because, you know, Steelers had one bad outing and, oh, Connor's not good enough and da, da, da. And, I mean, obviously he's a backup. I mean, the guy had barely any snaps last year. So how the hell is he going to be Superman? I mean, his stats were good up until, this past game where they just sucked against Baltimore. It wasn't just him. The whole team sucked. And even Joe Flacco said it was the easiest defense Steeler-wise he's ever had to play against. So, you know, there you have it. But as far as the team goes, I mean, as far as Pitt guys go, I see Tyler Boyd has more receptions in, you know, in this three games than he had all last year. And he was bearing a depth chart last year, and, you know, he kind of hit a crossroads after his season where, you know, he can go this way or you go that way, where that way is pretty much playing in Arena League or whatever, because it was looking bleak for him at that point. And now, you know, he's really turned it up a notch and he's put up some big numbers. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy, you know, I figured he eventually would be unemployed, but he's proved me wrong, and I can own that one. But anyways, guys, we're about hitting 30 minutes here. I got really not much else to talk about. Enjoy the game, hella pit. Let's try to get a victory.